Sia Palazzo.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have another new topic today within biology that we're covering. So we're going from pictures and recognizing distinctions between huskies and wolves to behavioral ecology. And so please let me put your hands together for, for Nico Semplatz, who will be talking about movement, which is here. This is a call for community, so do have a look and get involved.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, okay. Thanks for the introduction. I'm very excited to be here at the first, as I know, the first Bioinformatics and Computational Biology Dev Room. And it's a bit of a leap because we are going from genomes and proteins, which were most of the talks, to animals. So my talk is going to be a bit different, but I hope it will be enjoyable for most of you. So I will talk about a Python toolbox we are developing, which is called Movement, which is for analyzing animal motion tracking data. So first of all, a bit of information about myself. I'm a neuroscientist and a research software engineer based at the Sainsbury Wellcome Center in UCL. That's the building you saw at the title slide. I work in a team of research software engineers. We call ourselves the Neuroinformatics Unit, so just swap the bio for neuro. I'm also a fellow of the Software Sustainability Institute, which was mentioned in an earlier talk. And I'm the lead developer of Movement, which is the most relevant affiliation, I guess, for today's talk. So I'm going to give you a lot of background because I expect that many of you are new to this field before I jump into explaining the package. So the problem we are trying to solve is to essentially quantify behavior. And this is tricky because behavior is a very nebulous concept to define. But some definitions are useful, and I like this one from 1951, which defines it as the total movements made by the intact animal. And I like the word movement because movement we can measure precisely. And how can we measure movement? First of all, we can use video cameras to film the movement itself. That will be the topic of the talk today. We can also use inertial measurement units, which are sensors you can attach to the body that have accelerometers and stuff like that. You can also use GPS-based biologging for tracking movement on large time scales and large spatial scales. But today we are only talking about video cameras. The problem with video cameras is that you somehow need to transform the image, which is the video frame, into motion, or the series of frames into motion. The traditional way of doing that, that maybe you're familiar with, is motion capture. So in the entertainment industry, in cinemas, in animation, you would wear a suit, they will put reflective markers on you, you will go into a specially designed room which has cameras, I think 20 or 30 cameras all around, that film you from every possible angle. These cameras locate the reflective markers, you do a 3D reconstruction and you get a 3D time series of motion. Amazing. High quality. The problem is this is incredibly expensive, and it's a bit invasive because you have to wear the suit and the markers. If you're trying to do it in animals, that's not so easy, and it's very, very costly. So animal researchers have been resorting to more low-cost ways of dealing with the problem. You can see one of them in this paper. You can attach color markers to an animal or different body parts of an animal, like an ant in this case, and then you can use traditional image filtering methods to identify these colors during your analysis. But this has changed because in the last 10 years or so, we have computer vision, deep learning-based computer vision, and the new kind of name of the game is markerless motion tracking. The way this works is that, like everything else nowadays, you train a neural network to identify body parts. So basically, you label some video frames by hand. You click on the nose, on the shoulder, or whatever you care about. You label hundreds of these frames usually, and you teach a neural network to recognize the same body parts in unseen frames. If you do this for the entire video and you train the model well, you can give it a video and it gives you this representation of the body parts overlaid on top of the video. There are many user-friendly tools that to do that workflow. Probably the best known one is DeepLabCAD, but there are others like Sleep and Lightning Pose and probably 10 others that do a very similar job. So this is actually quite cool because it has transformed the study of animal behavior, because it has changed the scale. Before you had to click through every frame, now you can do it in a few days. That's why essentially animal behavioral scientists have now fallen in love with computer vision. And that has brought many different fields that were different together, because Now, neuroscientists, biomechanics people, zoology, conservational ecologists, vets, animal welfare people, livestock farming people, they're all interested in using these tools, or they're already using them, which means that there is a convergence in the toolbox. So basically all of these fields are now starting to use markerless tracking. The problem is what happens afterwards, because this advent of computer vision has kind of moved the bottleneck one step down the line, because now we can produce these motion tracks very fast, but we are not actually interested in the motion tracks, we're actually interested in the behavior of the animal. So we want to essentially extract meaning or measure some meaningful metrics of behavior based on the tracking data. Some simple examples would be, maybe you want to measure the speed of the animal or the orientation of the animal in space, which areas of the environment it has visited, how far it has traveled, things like that, or more complex things. Currently, this is done in ad hoc scripts in every lab, so every PhD student or postdoc writes a script in Python, MATLAB, or R to compute speeds. There are probably 200 versions of Python functions for computing speed only in my institute, and that's not really great for the field. So there is a lack of standardized data formats and tools, because all the computer vision toolboxes I mentioned, they spit out the data in different formats. We have lots of fragile in-house scripts that are not maintained beyond the project's conclusion. And we have piles of unanalyzed data because we're producing motion tracks faster than we can analyze them. So this is precisely the problem that we set out to solve, and we are solving it with movements. It's a Python toolbox, it's a Python package. You can find it on PyPI and on ConvaForge. So that's kind of the visual summary of it. What it does, it loads data, it ingests data from a variety of animal tracking frameworks, including the most popular ones, and we are continuously adding support for more formats. Once the data is in Python, we have a unified representation of the data as a multi-dimensional array using the Python library XArray. And this means that it doesn't matter which animal species you are studying, how many animals you are studying, or how you track them. Once the data is in movement, it looks the same. This allows us then to implement a bunch of general purpose methods for filtering, visualizing, and analyzing the data. And we do these implementations in a way that's fully tested, validated, and documented. So what are the sorts of things you can currently do with our API? You can check out also the examples on our website. You can do data cleaning, which is very important because, as we heard in the previous talk, models make mistakes all the time, and you want to use some heuristics to identify these mistakes and correct them post hoc. You can visualize the data. You have some plotting utilities for plotting the trajectory of the animal or which areas of its environment it has visited as a heat map. You can precisely quantify how much time the animal spent in each area of the environment. You can measure the orientation angle of any body part you're interested in, let's say here the head. You can also use it in specialized applications. You can do pupillometry. You can track points on the pupil and then measure, let's say, the pupil velocity as the eye moves from left to right, and many, many more. We are also interested in kind of lowering the barrier of entry for users, so we are developing a graphical user interface as a plugin for the Python image viewer Napari. What you see here is I've loaded the video of two mice in an octagonal arena inside Napari. I can navigate and scroll through the video like you would do in a normal video player. But now, importantly, you can use movement to essentially overlay the tracking data on top of the video. And you can do this from a variety of different software sources. You can set the file path, and then the data appears in Napari as two layers. First, you get the points, which are the predicted key points of body parts. And you can display their labels to inspect them. But apart from points, we also have this other layer on top, which is called tracks. And you will see what that is in a moment. As I play the video, you see essentially this tail extending behind the animal, which is the position of the animal in the previous frames. And you can very easily play with the parameters of that. So you can make the tail longer or shorter to view more or less of that history. That's quite useful for identifying tracking errors. And you can also go the other way. So you can extend the head and see the future. So if you do it all the way, you see the entire trajectory of the animal in this experiment. How are we doing all of this? So we are following a completely community-powered, community-driven development. We have a core of engineers. I'm one of them. But in total, we have 34 contributors on GitHub from multiple research labs around the world. We have over 300 merge pull requests, so far 80,000 downloads on PyPI and ConvaForge. And we already have several external packages depending on movement, using it as a dependency, essentially. So the bigger picture here is that we want movement to become a core part of the analysis workflow for analyzing animal behavior that takes you from motion tracking data to meaningful metrics of animal behavior. And we see movement as a key part of the scientific Python ecosystem. I like to say like a scikit image for animal motion data, essentially. But if you don't like Python and you prefer R, and I know there are many of you in this room, there is a sister project in R developed by a collaborator of ours, Mikkel. He calls it AniMovement, and it's essentially the same workflow, and we work together to standardize on data formats, naming, so we kind of keep the development step by step, and you get the same similar experience in Python and in R. That's all I want to say today. I would like to thank the other two core developers, Changquan Lo and Sofia Mignano, who are not here today, and our supervisor, Adam Tyson, our host institutes and the collaborators, and of course the many users and contributors who have made movement what it is today. And I will also mention, if you're interested in that project, check out the links. And also, we are running a workshop in London next summer for people who want to learn how to analyze videos of animals with techniques like the ones I mentioned today, including with movement. The registration is open for another 2 weeks, so you have time to tell people to register for that. Thanks a lot for your attention.
Any questions? If there are, can we also ask the next speaker to get ready to set up, please? No questions?
I have one.
Okay, careful.
So your package is about movement, but you're talking about behavior. Have you managed to query behavior yet, or is it planned for the
Yes, I will do. So the question was that the package is about movement, but what eventually we want to get at is behavior. And there's still a long way from, let's say, speed to actual behavior. What I didn't mention is the thing you see here on the bottom, which is so-called behavioral segmentation, which means you take the continuous motion tracks and you segment them into identifiable behaviors that you, a human, would describe. This is currently not in scope of the project, but we are maybe working on a different project that covers this scope, because we want to keep this package quite lightweight and a single purpose. Thank you.
So we actually have a few more minutes still before. So I might actually ask another very quick question, Nico. He was trying to run off. So low-level data formats between R and Python, you're using X-Array. R doesn't have an X-Array implementation, so.
Yeah, we're actually discussing this with Mikkel, who is the guy who developed the R package a few weeks ago. There are solutions. So one of them is X-Array's native format is NetCDF, which is actually just an H5 with a specification. You can load H5 in R. The other solution we are talking about is also transforming the data during export in a tabular format and saving it as Parquet. So that would also be an option, and we are working on that. So in the end, we don't care about having one single format. As long as we agree on the spec, we can save any kind of file we want. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so thank Nico once again. And so we